Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. I told you we're going to be starting our holiday studies. Because, you know, I'm one, I don't believe in the pagan Christmas. And we all know, really, that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born this time of year. This is the time mankind set aside for his birth. Now, we need to be honoring him every day anyway. But, especially on days that man has set aside, but let's keep it for the purpose of honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he is are all in all. He is our salvation. He's our deliverer. He's our physician, our healer. You know, it's his blood that makes us pure. Makes us white as snow and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all sin, and brings us into the family of Almighty God. These are things that we forget about. And we begin to ignore in our days and time. That should never be forgotten and never be ignored. We're going to start here with our holiday studies. Here in Isaiah 53, 430 some odd years before the birth of Christ, and how it was prophesied, and we'll grow from this point on as we continue on with our studies through these next days. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is the first two verses of chapter 53. And you see, in these two verses, we see the personal Messiah, the Son of God, who alone, he is the only one that can atone for our sins. His message is rejected His person is refused, and his mission is misunderstood. Nevertheless, his vicarious suffering provides atonement for our sins, and though he suffered death and burial, he will ultimately be exalted, because we know that he rose on the third day. And to miss the fact that Jesus Christ is the central figure in this passage is to stumble in unbelief over the cornerstone and foundation of all the gospel. Now, you know, here with the question, who has believed our report, is more of an exclamation than an interrogation, speaking for all the prophets. Isaiah, pardon me, calls attention to the world's lack of faith in general. And the arm of the Lord is the emblem of his divine power. And the servant is described as a tender plant, a suckling or a shoot, a root out of dry ground, which has already been described as springing from the stump of Jesse, the divinic lion. No form of comeliness denotes his humble origin rather than his personal appearance. Beauty, you know, that can be actually read as elegance. And this description does not mean that he will be homely or ugly, but that he will not appear on the scene in the regalia of a king. He will come as one who is common. Nothing could better describe the humble appearance of Jesus as a common rabbi. This is just the first two verses. But he goes on here. Now here, 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquaintance with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, to provide a detailed description of his suffering, the prophet uses a series of verbs with an assumed subject, the servant, despised, to disdain or scorn, and reject, abandoned, of men. He is further described as a man of sorrow, severe pains, and acquainted with grief. We know all of this because of his injuries and things that he suffered and took upon himself for you and I. And you see, because of his severe personal suffering, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And the description of Christ's suffering in the New Testament Gospels clearly indicate the severity of his physical suffering in agony in the garden. His battered face, the severe scourging and the torture of the crucifixion itself, his substantiatory atonement is clearly taught, because you see, he has borne our griefs. These were not really his. They were mine and yours. But he took them upon himself. And that spiritual sickness, the New Testament says that he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, on that cross. Thus he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. We, mankind in general, thought he was judged of God, but he was wounded and pierced through for our transgressions, our sins, and he was bruised, meaning to be utterly crushed. Our iniquities, our evil, moral evils that we done was upon him. And the chastisement and correction or discipline of our peace actually refers to that which procured our peace, God. And we are told that with his stripes, we are healed. Now, you know, it refers to our spiritual condition being made whole. In Isaiah, the term is always used for spiritual healing and forgiveness. And we know this. But it's also for our physical healing. Now, here in 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, he's carrying everything that's mine and yours on himself. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, I want to share something with you here. We can't go to heaven and get him and re-crucify him. This is why you and I are to be born again. And we'll be getting into that later on during these holiday studies. He was crucified once and for all. But we can't get him and re-crucify him again. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was stricken, and he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. None of this belonged to him. It was all ours. And now, then, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his